Bill. Bill, I did not have sex with that woman, Clinton, who gave us his wife and her emails, is back in front of the congregation. We didn't even know what Bill was doing. But Bill is back, y'all. Let's get into his Democratic National Convention speech.
After the last 2 days, aren't you proud to be a Democrat?
Bill from Arkansas.
And I am very grateful to the Republicans and independents that have joined us, have been up here on the stage, and I hope they feel better about it now. Because I've seen all these things that even I have to be reminded of from time to time when I get my spirits down. I love seeing the Obamas here. I love seeing President Biden. And I thought Hillary gave a great speech, too. And I love seeing all these young leaders. A bunch of them are coming up after me. They look better, they sound better, and they'll be exciting.
A lot of people say he looks like a corpse. But to be honest with you, listen, he's old. How old is Bill Clinton? Let me look this up. Bill, do y'all know, would you happen to know that Bill Clinton is 78 years old? 78 years old. And he actually looks, I mean, he's more vibrant than Biden. He's younger than Biden, but he's more vibrant than Biden. Trump is more vibrant than all of them.
I do want to say one word about President Biden. Remember, he had an improbable turn that made him president.
Are these people sick? Just curious. Listen, y'all. Why can't these people read from the teleprompter properly now?
Sorry, I don't understand.
I don't understand either, Siri. I don't understand either. Why can't these people properly read from the teleprompter? These are former presidents. Are they just aged out that much, or are they that disconnected to where they don't even know how to read from the teleprompter correctly? These people sounding crazy up here.
And we were in the middle of a pandemic and an economic crash.
Cap.
He healed our sick.
The plan.
And put the rest of us back to work. And he strengthened our alliances for peace and security. He stood up for Ukraine. He's trying desperately to get a ceasefire in the Middle East. And then he did something that's really hard for a politician to do. He voluntarily gave up political power. And
he was forced out. He didn't voluntarily give it out.
George Washington knew that, and he did it. And he set the standard for us serving two terms before it was mandatory. It helped his legacy, and it will enhance Joe Biden's legacy. And it's a stark contrast to what goes on in the other party. So I want to thank him for his courage, compassion, his class, his service, his sacrifice. Joe Biden.
Thank you.
He kept the faith and he's infected a lot of the rest of us. Now let's cut to the chase. I am too old to gild the lily. 2 days ago, I turned 78, the oldest man in my family for four generations. And the only personal vanity I want to assert is I'm still younger than Donald Trump.
Why does Donald Trump actually look so much more vibrant than these people? Why is it that Donald, honest to God, and this is just honestly, like these people look like they are corpses. Him, Joe Biden, all of them. Why is Donald Trump so much more vibrant than these other Democratic politicians? And I'm not saying it based off of the aisle or anything like that. But Trump is just chilling. He out there on the golf course. He golfing. He riding around, doing what he do, whatever, so on and so forth. These people look so old.
Last night, Last night, in what I thought was a very moving series of episodes, we nominated Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. And just think about that. Two leaders with all-American but still improbable life stories. It could only happen here. Their careers, after all, started in community courtrooms and classrooms. Two leaders who spent a lifetime getting the good job done. Now, one of the things that I've noticed over my increasingly long life is that a presidential election is unique in several ways. First of all, it's the greatest job interview for the greatest job in the world. Secondly, the Constitution says we, the people, get to do the hiring. And the third thing is,
I bet you how they tried to fix us from not even being able to vote for President Trump in the first place, I bet you he would have something to say about that. They tried to jail him and influence the election. Election interference is absolutely real.
That every 4 years, we get to change the requirements for the job. So here's what I'm thinking, because I try to apply this in every election. Will this president take us backward or forward? Will this president give our kids a brighter future? Depends. Will this president bring us together or tear us apart? Will the president increase the peace, security, and stability and freedom that we enjoy and extend it to others as we can? We, the people, we have to make a decision about these kind of questions. And every 4 years, it's a little different because the people come at the candidates, and they say, as they're saying now, here are our problems, solve them. Here are our opportunities, seize them. Here are our fears, ease them. Here are our dreams. Help them come true.
Yeah, he definitely didn't write that speech. He didn't even know where the period and the comma was. That's honest to God truth. He didn't write that speech. He didn't even read the speech before he started talking about it.
A president can answer that call by saying, I'll do my part, but you have to help me. We have to work together. Or you can dodge what needs to be done by dividing, distracting, and diverting us. So in 2024, we got a pretty clear choice, it seems to me. Kamala Harris for the people. And the other guy who's proved, even more than the first go-around, that he's about me, myself, and I. I know which one I like better for our country. Kamala Harris will work to solve our problems, seize our opportunities, ease our fears, and make sure every single American, however they vote, has a chance to chase their dreams. You know, when she was young, she worked at McDonald's. And she greeted every person with that 1,000-watt smile and said, how can I help you? Now she's at the pinnacle of power, and she's still asking, how can I help you? I'll be so happy when she actually enters the White House as president, because she will break my record as the president who spent the most time at McDonald's. But we got an election to win. And remember, we've got a guy that's pretty good at what he does. Donald Trump has been a paragon of consistency. He's still dividing. He's still blaming. He's still belittling other people. He creates chaos, and then he sort of curates it.
You want to know what chaos looks like? Because I like to, I'm trying to allow for these people to say as much as they're saying, and then I want to jump in and give my insight. Do you know what chaos looks like? Chaos looks like the same thing that they tried to go at Donald Trump about. Because remember, the thing that they tried to convict Donald Trump for was Stormy Daniels. Before he was in the White House. That's what Letitia James in New York went after him over. An alleged relationship with Stormy Daniels. And then another woman that said that 40 years ago, he seen her in a department store. And he said, man, I don't even know who this woman is. Who is this woman? And you have a president that is literally trying to convince you, or former president in Clinton, who was literally getting dome in the White House by a mid. He made a woman famous from getting dome in a White House, and they got him speaking at the Democratic National Convention telling you about integrity. You want to know what I think about Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton was the one that truly gave you selling out American jobs, and he gave away America. Trump literally is trying to undo all of the things that went wrong in previous administrations as far as America giving away jobs, manufacturing, partner with foreign countries, all of the things that we hate today, everything that your children and you are paying for. When you say that, oh man, in yesteryear they was able to afford a house and all of this stuff. He gave it away. He gave it to other countries. He gave it to China. The exodus of jobs. By the time that I graduated from high school in 2000 and I started evaluating my options of whether or not I could leapfrog off of, not go to college and experience the same things that my father and my grandfathers before me experienced as far as going to get a job, a high-paying job, because I'm from Detroit and we all wanted to work at the big three, Chrysler, Ford, and GM, and getting them A-plan paper so I could be driving my Lincoln, my Cadillac, whatever it is. If you didn't know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody that can pull some strings in order to get you in, that was gone. The steel industry was crushed. American manufacturing had given all of their jobs away to everything else overseas. That happened under the Clinton administration. Let me tell you something. Y'all celebrated it because he sold and mortgaged your future in order to make you feel good right now. It's just like you going to get a home equity line of credit, or you pulling equity out of your home, or you going to get a new credit card. We got a new credit card. And we started swiping. We didn't realize that we was going to have to pay the piper later on down the line. You know what else he did? Let me tell you what else he really did. He also really exacerbated and really started pushing, which led to the housing crisis that eventually we all had to suffer as a result of. That started in the 90s, in the early 90s. He sold out America. He literally sold y'all out, and y'all praised him for it and said, well, he the first black president because he got head in the White House and he know how to blow on a saxophone. When you get done with all of the shucking and jiving, when you get done with all of the whining and the complaining, remember this. Your leaders and the men of yesteryear sold you out and you loved them for it. That's who Bill Clinton is to me. And then he tried to give us his wife right after that. And guess who also was a legislator at that time? Joe Biden. Guess who was also on their way to being a prosecutor at that time? Kamala Harris. All of these people are a part of the establishment. They working on the next generation of leaders to make sure that they sell y'all out too. They not going away. They working vigorously. They working vigorously. While he had her under the table. Yes. Oh my God, Monica. Oh, Monica. We didn't forget, Bill. We didn't, and then he tried to give us Hillary. He tried to give us Hillary, not the Hillary from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Email Hillary. Jesus Christ.
If it were Precious Heart. Let me say, not a single day goes by. Even though I've been gone for well over 23 years from the White House, not a day goes by.
And I don't even blame him. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even blame him for getting no head in the White House. It is what it is. Like he showed y'all that he was a man, but y'all, I'm just saying, it's hypocritical. I don't blame him. It's just hypocritical. That's all I'm saying.
I want to thank the Lord for the chance I had to serve and what it meant. And one of the reasons, thank you. One of the reasons I love the job so much is that in the toughest times, even on the darkest days, if you tried hard enough, there was always something good you could do for somebody else. Now, some days that's not easy to do. You've got to deal with all these emergencies or there's something going on here, there, or yonder. But Kamala Harris is the only candidate in this race who has the vision, the experience, the temperament, the will.
Go ahead and read it. Read it. Read it straight from the paper how they wrote it for you, Bill.
And yes, the sheer joy.
The sheer joy.
To get something done.
The joy to get. What the hell? What the, y'all, for the sake of conversation, does somebody in the chat please let me know, what is the sheer joy to get something done? What does that mean? What does that even mean?
I mean, look, what does her opponent do with his voice? He mostly talks about himself, right? So the next time you hear him, don't count the lies. Count the eyes.
What? What? Count the eyes. It's all about him.
Count the eyes. His vendettas, his vengeance.
Read it straight from the paper, Bill.
His complaints, his conspiracies.
Straight from it. Word for word.
He's like one of those tenors opening up before he walks out on stage like I did, trying to get his lungs open by singing, me, 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 me. When Kamala Harris is president, every day will begin with you, 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 you.
Are we done with Bill yet? Is Bill canceled yet, y'all? Because it ain't like he ain't get all of his money already. It ain't like he ain't get super rich. It ain't like he probably a billionaire. Bill probably a billionaire. Real talk. Bill is probably a billionaire. We know he in the upper 3, 4, 5s at least, though. But he probably a billionaire. Are we done with Bill or we want to continue? Y'all let me know in the chat if we done with Bill. Because Bill ain't saying nothing.
So, we got to ask ourselves the questions if we're going to hire a president. Do you want to build a strong economy from the bottom up and the middle out? Or
it's the same. Listen, whoever Kamala's speechwriters are the same ones. Hey, guys, can we build an economy from the bottom up and the middle out and not from the top down? It's the same speech. Everybody giving the same speech. Everybody giving the same talking points. Do y'all know what that is? It's called hypnosis, right? And what happens is, it's the reason why, for example, Umar Johnson says things 3 times. And if you say it enough, it'll start to subjectively reprogram you to think a certain way. It's the reason why music is the way it is. And you think that music don't affect you, but then all of a sudden you start singing it. And next thing you know is, yeah, glow. Yeah, glow. Some of these dudes is so using my style like a, I hope you get burnt. Seems you haven't learned. It's a knick-knack, paddywhack. I still got the biggest sack. So put your gun away, run away, because I'm back. Wow. Hit him up. Spit him up. Get him up. Now, tell me what's going on and make me want to holler because my dollar going ozone. No, it's hypnotic. It's why the voices matter. The voices matter. It's the reason why some people that are lyricists often at times write the lyrics for the ones that'll say it. It's hypnotic. Real talk. It's literally programming you to think a certain way. And so when you see these talking points, now you don't even notice it. They programmed us at one point to think that Al-Qaeda, it's the Al-Qaedans that got to us. Remember that? Then it was the Taliban. And Saddam Hussein are holding weapons of mass destruction. Went over there, they couldn't find a penny over there. It's literally programming you to think a certain way. That's the reason why they say it over and over again. And so they make sure, listen, write the speech around this, insert this. Write the speech around this, insert this. Write the speech around this, insert this. And so then when you start to see people jump in your chat and they start to debate you and they say, well, what about, it's the reason why I'm so used to hearing the word, well, what about Project 2025? They programmed you. You didn't do your own research. You didn't go and read it. You didn't even understand what most of y'all have never read the 900-page document of Project 2025, but I have. You don't even know what's in it. And then you don't even know that Trump is not associated with it, but I didn't see anything in it that was really bad like that. It don't ring as good as Agenda 47. You can't make a tune to it. If you can make a tune to it, it makes it easier for you to remember. A lot of times when I would try to remember something, I would always make a tune to it. Anytime somebody would introduce me to somebody, oh man, this is my girl, Tiffany, what up, Tiffany? And I start talking about it. I start singing it because it's easier for you to remember. It programs it in your mind. I always gave somebody a nickname. Y'all got to look at how they hypnotizing y'all. We're going to build it from the bottom up and from the middle out. Bottom up, middle out. That's why you started to hear the rich to pay their fair share. What does that even mean? They pay the most taxes of anybody inside the United States of America. Pay their fair share. Black Lives Matter. It just run good. It just rolled off to the top. Because Black Lives Matter. I was crying. Crying over a bunch of gay women that didn't even like men that had white security guards and was toasting to your demise. But Black Lives Matter. I thought that all lives matters. Well, no, just because Black Lives Matter doesn't mean that all lives don't matter. We're not going to take away from Black lives. So easy.
Do you want to spend the next 4 years talking about crowd size? You're going to have a hard time believing this, but so help me, I triple-checked it. Since the end of the Cold War in 1989, America has created about 51 million new jobs.
We done with Clinton. We done with homie. We done with Clinton. We don't want to hear that junk no more.